Hey everybody, how you doing? It's good to see y'all this evening. How many of y'all have had a typical Monday? Just been one of those days. I was actually having a pretty good day, brother, until I got to the house. I was coming in this evening. I was like, okay, I get to speak tonight. And I noticed my next door neighbor, little Timmy by name. I said, hey, little Timmy. He says, hey, Mr. Scott, how you doing? Little Timmy had a shovel, and he was covering up a pretty good area with dirt, kind of had it mounded up. Kind of looked at it for a minute. I pulled in my garage, and I got out, and I said, little Timmy, how you doing? He said, well, Mr. Scott, it's been kind of a bad day. I said, really? I said, what happened? He says, well, my goldfish died. I said, your goldfish died? I said, man, I'm really sorry to hear that. And I looked at the area again. I looked at him. I said, well, you know, listen, man. I said, you dug a hole about that big. I said, I'm not understanding why you used such a big hole to bury your goldfish. He said, well, your cat ate it. Really? That's it? Oh, okay. All right. Well, I hope you all have had a good day. You know, they hit. Thanks. No, I do not have a little neighbor named Timmy. Okay. Anyway, I don't have a cat either. Not anymore. They always give me good topics. And this topic was, you know, when the pain is too great. And I thought about that. And I said, you know, this is kind of a lesson that you would preach to adults, you know, dealing with stress and all of these different things. And I thought, man, I just don't know how I'm going to approach this. And then I thought about it from the viewpoint of how for we as a people, especially young people, you know, you've become a Christian. At least I hope you've become a Christian. If not, let's take care of that. But still, even though you become a Christian and you are baptized into Christ and God adds you to the church and you're really striving, you're trying to do the right thing, you're trying to behave, you're trying to study your Bible, and you start messing up. And sin begins to wear down on you. And sin has a nasty habit of just, you know, getting a hold of us, being a part of our lives. Derek, because you were so kind to me, I'm going to let you come up here and help me for a minute, okay, brother? The elders had great confidence in me. First thing they handed me was towel. No, not really. I'm going to let you hold this right here. Y'all know this, how this goes, right? Hold it up where everybody can see it. I know this is the halfway mark, okay? About right there. Okay, go ahead and screw that lid down. I'm going to get this one. Now, here's the thing. You all have heard this. Is the glass half empty or is it half full? Half full. I had one half full. Everybody says half full. Y'all have heard this because you're saying, well, if I say it's half empty, he's going to pick on me and say I'm a depressing individual. Here, hold that. Just kind of hook your finger right here. Okay? Hook your finger in that one. Okay. Now stretch your arms out. Kind of hold them out there, up high. Now see, it really doesn't matter, really, when you think about it, whether it's half empty. No, a little bit more level. You're cheating there. Oh, there you go. It really doesn't matter whether it's half empty or half full. Because you see, they weigh about the same. Or do they? Nobody knows. Because what's going to happen is, the longer he holds that, the heavier it's going to get. If I leave him out there and I let him hold it for, you know, 15 minutes or so, his arms are going to start getting tired. But if I let him say, hey, Derek, you know, they said bless the speaker for the hour or of the hour, something like that. If he holds it out there for an hour, his arms are going to get numb. And if we leave him there until we get ready to go home, we'll probably have to call an ambulance. Because, see, it's not the whether it's half full or half empty. It's not even the weight. It's the fact that he's hanging on to it. That's what causes the problems. And brother, I'm not going to torture you today, okay? You can go ahead and set them down. That's the way we are with sin. With Christians, we think about, you know, we get involved in sin, and sometimes we think, well, that wasn't that bad, or this was a really bad one. You know, sometimes we get caught up in all kinds of things, and we think of the big sins. You know, I've done drugs, and well, maybe I'm drinking, I'm having problems with drinking, or I'm having troubles with, you know, pornography and all this different stuff. We think of those as the big sins. But there are other things that get in our life. Lying. Being envious of people around us. Getting to the point to where it begins to really weigh on us, that we get envious, we get jealous, and then we start trying to cut people down. So see, even the little stuff can begin to stick to us. That's why James in James chapter 1 says, you know, don't try to keep yourself unspotted from the world, because once it starts, how many of y'all did West Tennessee work camp? Did y'all get paint on you? Yeah. What happened? You get one drop of paint on you, what happens before long? Yeah, you get 50 drops. Or somebody walks up and says, hey, I noticed you got a little bit of paint on you. And then a paint battle starts and it gets all out of hand. That's the way sin is. And then you come home, you're trying to rub it off and all that kind of stuff. If you got your Bibles or your cell phones with the Bible app on it, right, because that's what we're using it for. If you got your Bibles, open up to Romans chapter 7. I like Romans chapter 7 because it starts off and it's depressing. You think, wow, really? You like Romans 7 because it's depressing? Well, about, you know, it starts talking about the problems of trying to keep a law and all this different stuff. But when you get about midway through, this is what I really like about Romans chapter 7. This is the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, the guy that's responsible for writing the majority of our New Testament through inspiration of the Spirit. This is the guy. And listen to what he says here. Romans chapter 7, beginning in verse 15, I do not understand the things that I do. I do not do what I want to do, and I do the things that I hate. And if I do not want to do the hated things I do, that means that I agree that the law is good, but I'm really not the one who is doing those hated things. It's sin that's living in me that does them. Yes, I know that nothing good lives in me. I mean, nothing good lives in that part of me that's earthly and sinful. I want to do the things that are good, but I do not do them. I do not do the good things that I want to do, but I do the bad things that I do not want to do. So if I do the things that I do not want to do, then I am not the one doing them. It's sin that's living in me that does those things. So I have learned this rule that when I want to do good, evil is there with me. This is the Apostle Paul, and he's writing about the problems that he's having dealing with sin in his life. Now, this is a big, real big discussion here with the Jews about law versus grace and all these things. But in the midst of this, we see Paul saying, I've got some problems in my life. The Apostle Paul is struggling with things in his life, with sin that gets into his life. And he's like, how am I going to deal with this? And you might think, well, you know, Jesus said, if the Son sets you free, you will be free what? Indeed. You will be free indeed. I mean, that's the marching orders for a Christian. When we become Christians, we think, hey, I'm free. I don't have to worry about anything anymore. But then we mess up. And rather than set it down, we sit there and we try to hold on to our sin. And in some cases, we try to hide our sin around our back or wherever. We don't want people to know that we're messing up. For many Christians, in fact, all of us, I guess I could say all of us who are Christians, we've done something wrong, we might respond, and then the adversary starts in on you and he says, God really didn't forgive you. You know you're going to go back and you're going to do that very same thing again. How could God forgive you? Can God really forget? Can he really put it behind him? Well, he says he can. Write these verses down. This is important. I want you to write these verses down. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17, echoing what was written over in Jeremiah 31, 34, says that God will remember our sins no more. God can have amnesia. That means when I mess up, and I earnestly say, Lord, I have just messed up totally. I'm trying to do right. Please help me to deal with this sin. Get it away from me. Help me to overcome it. And then 2 or 3 days later, I'm dealing with that same situation, and we kind of think it's having this pile-up effect. No, because that first stuff's gone. That's gone. God's already taken care of that. And you know what's cool? Is if you will earnestly try, to demonstrate your faithfulness to God, to give God your problem that you're dealing with, God will forget that sin as well. He says he'll cast them as far as the east is from the west in Psalm 103. He says, listen, when you confess your sin to me, it's gone. It's as far as the east is from the west. How far is that? It goes forever and ever and ever. See, God wants to forgive us. God provided the sacrifice for us. Now, this is where we have a problem, and it's really gotten in our society. Y'all know about a thing called karma. Have y'all heard of karma? What is karma? What's karma? I'm walking down through here and I'm whack. Ha! I got him. He says, God will get you for that. Karma. Now, we use that phraseology, but that's karma. God's going to get you for that. What goes around comes around. If you kick a dog, sooner or later you're going to get bit by a dog because that's karma. That's false teaching. See, we buy into that. We say, hey, well, you know, with karma, it's kind of like a balancing act. If this is good stuff over here and this is bad stuff over here and I do some bad things and it starts to go like this, well, then all I have to do is come over here and do good things and it starts to balance out. But that's the fallacy with karma. What's happening to that scale the whole time I'm doing that? It's piling up. It's piling up. It's piling up. The bad things are still there. They're still there. And that's kind of what Paul's talking about. He said, man, I want to do good, but the bad stuff just keeps piling up and piling up and piling up. We need to understand, first and foremost, we can never do enough good works to balance out those scales. We can never do enough good works. We can never say, well, I kicked a dog when I was 12, so now I'm going to pet every dog I see. I'm going to rescue every dog and cat at West Tennessee Work Camp every year. I'm going to do everything I can, and that's God's going to smile on me for that. Doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. The other thing is that those bad things are still there. That's the beauty of Christ. See, Christ doesn't balance the scales. He removes the sin from the scales. He removes the bad things. So then all that the Father sees is the good that comes through His Son. That's it. He sees His Son. That's it. There's nothing there. It's gone. And we buy into this karma thing, and that's the thing is, this is the thing I want you to realize. So many times when we mess up, we think, hey, if I just start doing good things, then I'm going to be okay. No. No, 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 no. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can remove sin. The best thing, in fact, the only thing that you can do, young people, is to put the blasted bottles down, okay? Put the sin down. Get away from it. Sometimes we're saying, well, I'm going to put my sin down, but I'm going to put it over here where nobody will see that I'm a sinner. The Apostle Paul, y'all, wrote it for all of us to see. I want to do good, but I just can't. I just can't do it. It's not in me. And you might think, with the Apostle Paul, you know, you think, well, if that's happening to Paul, then what chance do I have? What chance do I have? That's the beauty of Romans chapter 7 and the beginning of Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 7, verse 24 and 25 says this, and you tell me if this doesn't fit you at some time in your life, okay? Maybe you mess up. You know, when I'd have to spank my children for something, I felt like I was that tall. Oh, man, you know, I made my son cry. I made my daughter cry. Man, I'm a horrible person. That's kind of what Paul's saying here, only it's not because he had to correct his children like a good dad. It's that he's been caught up in sin, and he says in Romans 24 and 25, what a miserable man I am. Who will save me from this body that brings me death? Have y'all ever been that way, the weight of the world so much on you, think, man, I'm a horrible person. I'm trying to be a good Christian. I'm trying to do right. I'm trying to help my family do the right thing, but I keep messing up. I'm such a horrible person. And then we have thoughts of, what good am I? I'd be better off if I wasn't here. That's when the pain begins to get too great. How do I get rid of that pain? Through the blood of Christ, I set that sin aside. I don't get rid of pain by inflicting pain. That's kind of stupid. Oh, my thumb hurts. I think I'll smack my pinky with a hammer. It'll make me feel better. No. See, Paul writes, who shall save me from this body of death? And what's he say there? Y'all read it with me, and I'll try to read it. I'll try to quote it. I thank God through Jesus Christ. He says, I thank God. My translation here says, I thank God for saving me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So even in my mind, I'm a slave to God's law, but in my sinful self, I'm a slave to the law of sin. And then he goes down in Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. He says, there is therefore no condemnation. What is condemnation? That's a big word. What's condemnation? That's one we use every day. Punishment? What else? You're in trouble, buddy. You can't get out of it. Eternal punishment. You're in trouble now. Okay? He says, basically, they're not going to be judged guilty. Those who are in Christ Jesus are not going to be judged guilty. That's it. That's your lesson for this evening. It's as simple as this right here. Just think about this. Derek's holding these bottles out here. I could have left him standing out here forever, and I would have said, Derek, why don't you just put those things down? You probably look at me and go, I could have put them down? Yeah, you could have put them down. I never told you to stand there and hold them forever. And you're just standing there, hold them until your arms wear out. God doesn't want you to carry around your sin. He doesn't want you to carry around that guilt. He provided the way for you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, he says, even while you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. God loved you enough to give his only son. Think about that for a minute. You are, and I've said this before to my family there at Sitka, but you are the center of God's world. You are the center of his world. So how's it feel to be sitting right next to the center of the universe this evening? You're the center of God's universe. How do I know that? He gave his only son for you, for me, even while I'm being an idiot holding these bottles out here. He did that for me. There's no reason for you to go home this evening saddled with guilt. And again, there is no level of sin with God. Lying is just as bad in God's eyes. It's a sin that will cause eternal punishment as much as being angry, as much as being caught up in drugs or alcohol or whatever. And God says, I don't want that for you. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Do not leave here this evening feeling guilty, walking around like Eeyore. Oh me, I'm down in the dumps. Don't do that. There's no reason for that. God doesn't want that for you. He wants you to be joyful. I want to encourage you tonight, young people. Listen, you guys got all kinds of stresses on you. Don't put that stress on yourself. God's taking care of that for you. If you're struggling under the weight of sin tonight and you are not yet a Christian, hey, you can set that aside through the blood of Christ Jesus this evening. If you turn away from that sin, you can stand before these people and just say, hey, I trust God. I know he can help me. I trust him. And then be baptized in order to receive the forgiveness of your sins. Leave that weight behind and start your new life. It's that easy. If you're a Christian and you're struggling, we want to pray with you and for you. I want you to be successful. I told a doctor tonight, a doctor friend of mine tonight. He was one of the first doctors, he's the only doctor, one of my first young people that ever came through a youth program with me. I told him, he said, Mr. Scott, I want you to do a wedding for me. I said, man, I just love to see kids. And I said, no insult intended, he's 30 years old. I said, I just love to see my kids do well. God wants you to do well. Won't you come while we stand while we sing?